I'm afraid I'm in trouble with the authorities, and I'm going to have to move. I'm going to have to leave the area. That's what David said. David said in his heart, I shall now perish one day by the hand of Saul. There's nothing better for me than that I should speedily escape into the land of the Philistines. And Saul shall despair of me to seek me any more in any coast of Israel. So shall I escape out of his hand. Have you ever thought like David? David said in Psalm 55 and verse 6, he said, oh, that I had wings like a dove, for then would I fly away and be at rest. Tonight I want to look at David. Why did he get to this state of mind? Why was it that he thought he had to run away to get out of trouble? We see in chapter 27, verse 1, again, he said, I shall now perish one day by the hand of Saul. In chapter 25, we see David, if you go back another couple chapters, you see David who is reacting to problems. He's been fighting, he's been traveling, he's been trying to get away from Saul, trying not to be killed. David has just been all over the country. And he comes to the place where he needs some provision. And he remembers Nabal, who has many cattle, and he has a large farm, and he has many servants. And he sends his men, he says, go there and ask Nabal for some provisions. Nabal said this, David wants something from Nabal. And Nabal answered David's servants and said, who is David? And who is the son of Jesse? There be many servants nowadays that break away every man from his master. Nabal insulted David and started to get under David's skin. Shall I then take my bread, my water, and my flesh that I have killed from my shears and give unto men whom I know not whence they be? He denied David's request. Then on top of that, he says, and David said unto his men, gird ye on every man his sword. David had been insulted enough. And he told his men, get your swords on. And they girded on every man his sword, and David also girded on his sword. And there went up after David about 400 men and 200 abode by the stuff. David had gotten to a point where he just reacted. David had lost something in his travels and in his fight with Saul. And I want to look at those things tonight. Let's pray. Lord, I pray that you be with us. Guide and direct us in our lives. I pray that you'd have your will and your way in this service here. Touch our hearts, Lord. Help us to see what you would have us to learn from the life of David. I pray that you guide and direct and give us freedom of speech here and freedom of thought, and help us to put across the ideas that you have laid upon my heart here tonight. I pray that you touch someone's heart tonight. Maybe there's someone here not saved. Maybe there's someone here, even at the point that David was, says, I'm done. I'm getting out of here. Lord, be with us tonight. I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. 1 Samuel 27:1, I shall now perish, he said. In 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 13, we go all the way back to when David was anointed to be king. The Bible says, then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brethren. The Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. So Samuel rose up and went to Ramah. Here we find that David was anointed with the Spirit from that day forward. We didn't see Saul, who was anointed He was anointed, but the Spirit of the Lord would come to him and go away. Come to him and go away. But here we find David was full of the Holy Spirit from that day forward. God had chosen David. There are three things I want to look at here tonight. We want to look at, and we'll be done, that David lost. First of all, I think David lost his vision. God had a plan for him. We know that the Bible says that without a vision, the people perish. In Philippians chapter 1 and verse number 16, the Bible says, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. Amen. God has a purpose for us. God has something for us to do. But David lost his vision. David lost what God had given him all the way back on that day when he was anointed to be king. He lost a vision for what he needed to get. All the time David served God, all the time that David served even under Saul, David lost his vision. We know that Isaiah had a vision. The Bible says in Isaiah chapter number 6, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims. Each one had six wings, and twain he covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. I tell you what, David lost the vision of who God is. He is an all-powerful God. He is a holy God. He says, holy, 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 right here. That's who David served, but he lost the vision of who God was. Do you know who God is tonight? Have you had that vision in your life that you could see who God was? Then said I, woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and dwell in the midst of people of unclean lips, for mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. A vision of who we are. A vision of who God is. And then Isaiah said, I had a vision of who I am. I am just unholy, I'm unclean, I'm unworthy. And I believe that every person here tonight, and I think we're talking to church family, of course, mostly here tonight. I don't know if there's any visitors here. Most of us here proclaim to be Christians. We know that there was a time and a place in our life where we trusted the Lord Jesus Christ. We had to come to this point. We had to come, even as children, we have to come to the point where we need to call upon God, say, Lord, I am unclean. I cannot save myself. A vision of who we are. Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar. And he said unto my, and he laid it upon my mouth and said, Lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thy iniquity is taken away, and thy sin purged. We need to have a vision, folks, of what God can do for us. And also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send and who will go for us? And he said, Here am I, Lord, send me. We need a vision of what we can do, where we can go, who can go. I like the fact that this church, our church, supports so many missionaries. Amen? Because if we can't go, we'll give so others can go. That's having a vision. And I like the vision of the Bible College sending books, something that a student of God's Word can take with them and can look at in such a worthy cause to send missionary supplies. It is a vision that David lost and a vision that we need to have. A vision that David just could not get when he said, I am going to perish under Saul, and I better get away. Not only did David lose a vision, but David lost his passion. Psalm 23 and verse number 6, if you will, The Bible says, as soon as I get to here, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Psalm 27, verse 4, David said, one thing have I desired of the Lord that I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in His temple. Psalm 122 and verse 1, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Amen. This is a pretty decent crowd here tonight. There's many, many more that could be here. Amen. We could have more folks here. David lost his passion. And I fear sometimes that we as Christians lose our passion. You know, the word passion is mentioned three times in the Bible. And the first one, it's mentioned of Jesus Christ. It says, and after His passion. They call what we just came through, the resurrection Sunday and all the proceedings up to that, they call that the passion of Christ. Because that was His drive, that was His purpose, to come to die upon the cross, to be buried and raised again for our sins, so we could be saved. There's other two times in the Bible, it's just speaking of men, saying they have like passions as us. We're men, just like you. But this passion, this is a drive, it's what we are, it's what we live for. David lost his passion for the things of God. David even had a priest that traveled with him. Abiathar. You would think that having a priest traveling the country with him would have kept David close to God and kept David's mind right and searching for God and following God and seeking His direction. Remember when you first got saved? Remember the times that you said, boy, I am so glad I'm saved. And you like to hear the Word of God, and you love to read the Word of God, and you like to study the Word of God. Used to have to, now we say, well, I have to go to church today. And it ought to be, I get to go to church today. Amen? I'm a Sunday school teacher, so I better be there. No, it's, man, I'm excited to be there. I want to be there. I'm a deacon. I better go. Pastor will say, where were you? But no, our passion ought to be, boy, I'm going to be there. I'm a choir member. I'm a former pastor. I'm a former preacher, if you will. I better go to keep my image up. No, it ought to be, I get to go. I want to go. I'm the assistant pastor. I better be there. Amen? Drag yourself into church? No. I'm going to be there because I love God. Amen? Listen, servants of God, get into the service of the Lord because they love the Lord. They want to serve Him. But even after a while, even like David, things might seem to get a little bit hard. Things might seem to get the burdens of life, if you will, pressed down upon us. David lost his passion for the things of God. David also, because he lost his vision and he lost his passion, it led to his inaction. Look, if you will, to chapter 27 and verse number 7 of 1 Samuel. And the time that David dwelt in the country of the Philistines was a full year and 4 months. I like, the Bible says it was a full year and 4 months. He was sitting there in the enemy's country, sitting there. Oh, he did some things. I'm not sure with the timeline here of what was going on. But I do know that David was out of the land of his people for a full year and 4 months. Not only did he sit in the enemy's country, but he lied to the king. If you would read the account, and we're not going to take that time to do so tonight, but we'll just take a little bit here. This is chapter 27, verse 9. And David smote the land and left neither man nor woman alive and took away the sheep and the oxen, the asses and the camels, the apparel, and returned and came to Achish. Achish said, whither have ye made a road today? And David said, against the south of Judah, against the south of Jeremites, and against the south of the Kenites. And David said, neither man nor woman lied to bring tidings to Gath, saying, lest they should tell on us. David was being deceitful. You know, this is what happens to a backslidden Christian. Amen. This is they get to a place where they don't want people to know what's going on. Brother Braden mentioned Dr. Peter Ruckman this morning. And I remember a message that Dr. Ruckman preached on Samson. You know, Samson was a Christian. And I know in the Old Testament you wouldn't call him that, but he believed in God. As a matter of fact, I believe Samson is mentioned in Hebrews chapter 11. Samson was a righteous man, let's put it that way. But Samson backslid. And I remember what Dr. Ruckman said. He said that the sin of Samson was the sin of secrets. He always had secrets. He ran down and took a wife where he shouldn't have taken a wife. He killed a lion and he came back and he touched that dead thing, remember? And he made riddles. That's what backslidden people do. That's what people who are out of the will of God will make excuses and will hide where they ought to be in the glory of God's service and God's light. David lost these things, folks, and I think that we could apply each and every one of them to ourselves here tonight. Do we have a vision? Do we have a passion for the Lord? And do we, are we doing something for God? Are we inviting folks to church? Are we witnessing to people? As I walk around the neighborhood where I live and I see these different people, I think, can I get the gospel to them? Can I speak to them? And the answer, of course, is yes, you can. I mean, just a gospel tract is something to let folks know that you care for them. Stopping and saying, hey, will you come to church with me? Would you go to church? Let me ask you about your soul. You know, we get to a place in our life sometimes when we're first saved, boy, we're energetic and we want to talk to people and we want to tell them about the Lord. And as we get in set in our ways, sometimes we kind of lose that enthusiasm. We lose that boldness. And I've told you the story of my little boys when they would go to the neighborhood. They'd ask everybody to come to church, even the Mormon bishop that lived down the street. They didn't have any more sense to know than to ask them to come to church. And they got them to come in under the gospel. Folks, we ought to be more childlike sometimes like that. And don't worry about what people are thinking about us. This would be a sad story, wouldn't it be? David says, I'm going to get out of here. I'm going to go to Ziklag. I'm going to get as far away as I can. If we just ended it there, that's not the end, folks. God is going to work on David. If you have your Bibles, turn to 1 Samuel chapter number 30. 1 Samuel chapter number 30. Sometimes I bring so many notes up here. I'm moving things around. I ought to have a big table up here like this so I can set things, plus a glass of water and maybe a little iPad so I can keep track of the Tigers game or something. I don't know. Chapter number 30, verse number 1. It came to pass when David and his men were come to Ziklag on the third day that the Amalekites had invaded the south. And Ziklag had smitten Ziklag and burned it with fire. And had taken the women captive that there were therein. They slew not any, either great or small, but carried them away and went on their way. So David and his men came to the city, and behold, it was burned with fire. Their wives and their sons and their daughters were taken captives. Then David and the people that were with him lifted up their voice and wept till they had no more power to weep. And David's two wives were taken captives, Ahinoam, the Jezreelitess, and Abigail, the wife of Nabal, the Carmelite. And David was greatly distressed For the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of all their people was grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters. Now you look worried here. This is terrible, isn't it? This is bad. David's city has been burned. His wives have been taken. All his men's wives and their children have been taken. This is where David is beginning to be worked on by God, testing David. Folks, let's go on so you're not too worried here. It's going to get better. And then to verse 6 he says, but David encouraged himself in the Lord. Amen? He encouraged himself in the Lord. That's a lot different than chapter 27, verse 1. The Bible says, and David said to himself, instead of encouraging yourself in the Lord, you turn within yourself. People today are saying, you know what they say? They say, I'll be yourself. I don't want to be myself. Amen? You don't want to be yourself. You want to be what God would have. You want to trust the Lord. You want to give Him your heart. We're sinners. And so he inquired, he encouraged himself in the Lord. David said to Abiathar the priest, Ahimelech's son, I pray thee, bring me thither the ephod. And Abiathar brought thither the ephod of David. And David inquired at the Lord, saying, shall I pursue after this troop? Shall I overtake them? And he answered him, pursue, for thou shalt surely overtake them, and without fail recover all. Now David is turning to God. David's changing. David said, you know, I've tried it myself. I went to Ziklag in the first place. I got out of the place where I should have been. I hid from Saul, and I got out of there. Now look what it's brought me. It's brought me nothing but pain and grief and heartache. Now he turns to God, and I like the answer. He says, for thou shalt surely overtake them, and without fail recover all. David changes. This is where he changes. This is a pivotal time in David's life. Because you know the next chapter, after this one, we see Saul coming to his end. And then we see David in the next book becoming king. This is pivotal. David says, God, I'm going to depend on you. I'm going to encourage myself in you. And folks, that's what we need to do. Encourage ourselves in the Lord. What would he have us to do? Verse number 9, so David went, he and the 600 men that were with him, and came to the brook Besor, where those that were left behind stayed. But David pursued, he and 400 men, for 200 abode behind, which were so faint that they could not go over the brook Besor. They found an Egyptian in the field and brought him to David and gave him bread, and he did eat, and they made him drink water, and they gave him a piece of cake of figs and two clusters of raisins. Then he had eaten, when he had eaten, the spirit came again to him, for he had eaten no bread nor drunk any water 3 days and 3 nights. And David said unto him, to whom belongest thou? And whence art thou? And he said, I am a young man of Egypt, servant to an Amalekite, and my master left me because 3 days agone I fell sick. We made an invasion upon the south of the Cherethites and upon the coast which belongeth to Judah and unto the south of Caleb, and we burn Ziklag with fire. And David said to him, canst thou bring me down to this company? And he said, swear unto me by God that thou wilt neither kill me nor deliver me into the hands of my master, and I will bring thee down to this company. Already we see a change in David. Already we see David having mercy on this young man. Oh, I know. He was trying to get information. He was trying to find out where his wives were and his children were and of the men that were with him. But he had mercy on this young man. This is a change for David. David's been out there fighting and killing. He had just went to a town and slaughtered all the people there. And now here, he's having mercy on this young man of Egypt. Oh, I tell you, well, folks, when we get right, when we come back to God, we'll have mercy on those around us. Amen? We'll remember where we were. We'll remember how God brought us. We look at the world. When we get saved, and I know, I'm talking about me. I look out and I see, oh, that sinner, that person there, boy, he is really in trouble. Man, he ought to get right with God. He ought to do something. He ought to get saved. And we forget sometimes that that's where we came from. Amen? That's where we were. That's where we would be if it wasn't for the grace of God. David had mercy. But then it goes on. When he had brought him down, behold, they were spread abroad upon all the earth, eating and drinking, dancing, because of all the great spoil that they had taken out of the land of the Philistines, and out of the land of Judah. And David smote them from the twilight even to the evening of the next day. And there escaped not a man of them, save 400 young men, which rode upon camels and fled. And David recovered all that the Amalekites had carried away. And David rescued his two wives. There was nothing lacking to them, neither small nor great, neither sons nor daughters, neither spoil nor anything that they had taken to them. David recovered all. I like that. Three times it says that in this chapter. You go back to verse 8. He says, you shall surely overtake them and without fail recover all. Verse 18, and David recovered all. And verse 19, David recovered all. That's kind of a picture of what happens to us when we come back to God. Amen? David went through all this. David lost so much. Then he loses his home here, loses his wives, but he recovers all. Folks, in our life, if you've backslid on God, if you've gotten away from God, when we get away from God, well, the Bible teaches us that if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Amen. We can recover all. Verse number 20, and David took all the flocks and the herds which they drave and the herds which they drave before those other cattle and said, this is David's spoil. David came to the 200 men which were so faint at the brook Besor. And they went forth to meet David and to meet the people that were with him and the people that were with him. And when David came near to the people, he saluted them. Then answered all the wicked men, the men of Belial, and of those that went with David, and said, because they went not with us, we will not give them aught of the spoil that we have recovered, save to every man his wife and his children, they may lead them away and depart. Then David said, ye shall not do so, my brethren. That which the Lord hath given us, who hath preserved us and delivered the company that came against us into our land hand. For who will hearken unto you in this manner? But as his part is that goeth down to the battle, so shall his part be that tarrieth by the stuff. They shall not part alike. They shall part alike. And it was so from that day forward that he made it a statute and an ordinance for Israel unto this day. When David recovered his vision, he brought mercy. When David recovered his passion, now he was serving. Now he was doing what he was supposed to do. He brought kindness. He brought kindness to those men who couldn't make it. He said, let's not, these men, they said, we're not going to give them the spoil. They didn't come with us. They stayed back. David realized that there were some men there that just couldn't get there. They were so weak. David had kindness. He said, let's show these people kindness. When you get your passion back, you'll show kindness. Then, when you read on, verse 26 to verse 31, I'm not going to read the whole thing. And when David came to Ziklag, he sent of the spoil unto the elders of Judah, even to his friends, saying, behold, a present for you of the spoil of the enemies of the Lord, to them that were in Bethlehem. And he says, and to them which were in Aor, and to them which were in Shipmoth, to them that were in Rachel, to them that were in the cities of just might, to them that which were, to them that which were, all the way down to the end of this chapter. He said, I'm going to give gifts. When you get your action back, when you start serving God, I believe that brought generosity to David. It brought mercy. It brought kindness. It brought mercy. If we would just think in our life what we can do for others, amen? If maybe you've never been to this point. Maybe, and a lot of us haven't been to that point. But we do get to a point of apathy sometimes, where we're just happy to come to church and go home and then come to church again. We might not have ever gotten to the point where David got, but as it says in the book of Revelation, because you were neither cold nor hot, I will spill you out of my mouth. Just there, just doing, just living. We need to have all of these things in our heart. We need to have vision. We need to have passion. And we need to have action. I like what the Bible says in Luke chapter number 15. When the lost son, the Bible says, when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and I will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee. How many times have we said, this is what I'm going to do. I am going to do this. I am going to do that. I am going to witness more. I am going to pray more. I am going to read my Bible more. I am going to be more attuned to the Spirit of God. And yet we never act upon it. This young man said, I am going to. But if you notice down, you go down. The Bible says, he arose and came to his father. And the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and no more worthy be called. He said the very thing that he said he was going to do. He acted on what he said he was going to do. Are you acting today on what you say you're going to do? How many times have we sat in a service and I hear the preaching and I do enjoy the preaching and I do get something out of every service? One thing or another. And I bow my head and I say, Lord, help me in this area. That's why we have church, folks. That's why we come 3 times a week. Sometimes 4 and 5. Amen? That's why we come here. We come to get from the Word of God and to learn and to act. Listen, we need to be a people of action. We need to have a vision. You know what? Now, I should have written it down. I can't remember the man's name who started the Salvation Army. Was it Booth? William Booth, I believe it was. He said, this is back when they served God and they tried to get people saved, amen, not just clothe them and feed them. But he said, in the training of my young men, I could finish their education if I could dangle them over hell for 24 hours. And that'd get a vision into their heart. That's what he said. We need to have a vision of the lost. We need to have a passion for those around us. We need to have action in our life to serve Him better. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Go to the Lord in prayer tonight. And I want you to think tonight. I'm not sure if God's dealt with you here tonight. I don't know if the Lord has just giving you something in your heart. Maybe this message was for someone in particular. Maybe it was for every one of us. When we look in the Word of God and we see these things and we read about the Word of God and we see so many good preachers and so many good messages, does it touch our hearts? Does it make a change in our life? Do you need to make a change in your life to do something for the Lord? I tell you what the biggest change is. If you're not saved, you need to get saved tonight. You need to trust the Lord. I was a lost church member for many years till I finally said, I am lost. I need to get saved. Maybe you're here tonight with your head bowed and your eyes closed. You've never trusted the Lord. You'd say, Brother Ayers, the Lord spoke to my heart about salvation. Would you pray for me? Just lift your hand up. I'm not going to call on you. Maybe someone's, God's touched your heart. You're not saved tonight. You never trust the Lord. You say, well, I think I am. There was a time where I thought I got saved. The Bible doesn't say you need to think you're saved. The Bible says, these things have I written unto you that ye may know that ye have eternal life. And you can know that for sure. Maybe there's someone here, and I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand, but I'm going to ask you to think about it. Is there some action you need to do? Is there some kindness or some mercy or some generosity? Or you just need to be talking. Maybe there's someone that God brought to your heart and you need to talk to that person about the Lord. Maybe you determine tonight that I'm going to be a man of action. I'm going to be a woman of action. I'm going to be a child of action. And I'm going to talk to that person. I want you to think about it tonight. Lord, I pray that you'd be with this invitation, God, and direct our lives. And I ask these things, Lord, that you just touch our hearts and move upon us. I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.